7:22 on a Wednesday morning. It's not just a Wednesday, but it is a Defeat of Jesse James Wednesday, as we have Northfield's Mayor Rhonda Pownell joining us, along with City Administrator Ben Martig. Mayor, welcome, and happy Defeat Days.
Thank you. Yeehaw, right? Is that the right way to say that? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it is it's our big celebration. But as far as tourism, and I know that the city and staff have focused a lot of time and energy on tourism in recent years, and a lot of people within the city. But this is one of the things where we get to see, yeah, there's tourists going to be in town this weekend. It looks like we're going to have great weather for it.
And a lot of them. Oh, my goodness. A lot. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun weekend. In the meantime, it was you got some business taken care of last night before the cheese curds get here.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. You don't want to be in a cheese curd stupor at the council meeting. But let's talk about the council meeting last night. Some of the things involved. First of all, there was a public hearing related to tax increment financing. Aurora Pharmaceuticals, which is on Highway 3, a lot of people know Cannon Valley Vet Clinic, mm-hmm. has been looking to expand and looking for tax increment financing. Tell us about what the council, the action the council did, and the presentation that you heard.
Yeah, so this is a long time in the works, and these things don't just happen overnight. So many, many months of Aurora, obviously, Pharmaceuticals first looking at a $2 million expansion of their project. They employ over 100 people with the city. And part of it is their site is kind of fully developed, so they do have limitations on their site as far as what they can do physically. So we looked at a number of options, and ultimately they're looking to purchase about a third of an acre of parkland from the city to accommodate the expansion. And there are a lot of infrastructure costs related to that, some stormwater and utility costs that they're looking at. That really put it at a point where make it difficult for it to work financially for them. So they sought special tax increment financing for a short period of time. I believe it's about 8 years for the tax increment financing for an economic development district. That what the taxes on that new portion of the building only would help to go to recoup some of those eligible costs for infrastructure improvements and the acquisition of the property. So the city's looking at offering that. The city has no risk with that, so it's basically a pass-through thing. So if they pay their bills, they get a portion of that, and the city does retain an administrative fee for some of those expenses. So they went through some of those discussions, and really want to say, thank you, first of all, to Aurora Pharmaceuticals. They're great supporters of the community and a great success story for us. And our staff as well, Nate Carlson in particular, he's a newer economic development coordinator for us, but he put a tremendous amount of time on this as well, working with our consultants and Aurora on the project. So the council ultimately approved that. The parkland issue was one that we spent a lot of time researching from a staff standpoint, too. We probably had 20, 25 hours of just researching the history of that property, because sometimes parkland has actual restrictions on it from a community standpoint. This one is originally acquired, we believe, back in about 1958, and we did a full legal review. Didn't find anything that would restrict us from legally piecing that portion off. Now, it's a small strip of land that really isn't going to impact the park. We have our trail, Cannon River Trail, nearby, and really isn't impacted by it. But anyway, there was a lot of work with that as well that went into that. So we held the hearings, and council ultimately approved that.
All right, and that was a 7-0 vote, so it was, I don't know if they call that a slam dunk, but I'd say slam dunk after the presentation.
Yeah, I think that, there was some hesitation with regards to the parkland, but aside from that, the council really spoke favorably about the expansion on there, and had I think there was one vote where we had one person that had some concerns with it. But even in that, they really express their support for the project, for the business, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for us as a community to support an existing business and see them grow right here in our community is really quite exciting.
All right. Yeah, there was one. There's multiple votes on that. I was just looking for the first one. Yes. Let's move on, though. During the regular agenda, you had to consider a response to Northfield's City Charter Commission request. And this was, I'm presuming, I believe this was on the, was it on the hotel, new hotel property? What was this concerning?
Yeah, so about a year ago, the Charter Commission had taken action with concerns about the offering of incentives related to the hotel project. And, of course, there's a long history. The council had a lot of deliberation on that issue and technical processes. But they had a concern that a charter provision that talks about the welfare of the community and other things, they didn't believe that, or at least a majority of them, had questioned the whether or not that was legal to offer some of those incentives that were offered with the hotel project. It was quite a... their question that they posed, I think, was a multiple-page kind of explanation, so it got into some legal issues as well. So our attorney actually helped draft up last year kind of a response to that issue, which was shared with the council, and then I ultimately shared it with them back with the legal opinion responding to their concerns, basically saying it had been fully vetted. Their concerns have been fully vetted, and then we re-referenced the things that had been provided as documentation of that hotel project. So time went by. I did share that with them, that was passed along, and then the charter this last July met again and had concerns where they wanted to hear it directly from the council, their response, not directly from the attorney or staff. So that was what we presented back to the Charter Commission was presented to the council last night. They basically accepted their, recognized their concerns, and then basically reconfirmed the attorney's response as the council's formal response to their concerns. So we'll be passing that along to the Charter Commission, and I don't expect any further issues related to that topic.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. You had moved from the consent agenda into the regular agenda. Mayor, you had an invitation from the White House.
Yes.
That to come in and pay a visit. What? tell us about that. Was that, from what I understand, there wasn't a whole lot of information involved with that. It was just kind of an invitation. Tell us about it.
So it's the Women's Mayors of America White House Conference. So it's something new that I had never seen and was sent the invitation. There's about 25 Minnesota mayors that have been invited.
Mm-hmm.
400 total. These are all female mayors. So 25 from Minnesota, 400 total from across the U.S. invited to the White House on September 20th, and with our council policy, right, any expenditures above $500 you have to get council approval for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was why it was really on our agenda to do further due diligence. There isn't a whole lot of information about it yet, and it's still in development. They're working on it, and it would have been sent out to us. If I were to go, it would have been mm-hmm. sent out about a week prior to the actual conference, but just an opportunity to meet with the secretaries, cabinet secretaries, their policy setters there at the White House, and they really wanted to hear from the local level that perspective on what we're dealing with workforce or other community type issues. So
interesting. Now, was this actually from the president? Did Donald Trump sign it, or?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, just a general invitation from the White House. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to pursue on your own? The city declined, the council declined the financing portion of this, but I don't think they're barring you from going if you would choose to go, would you?
No, and certainly Councilmember DeLong mm-hmm. said that, you know, he encouraged me to go if I wanted to go. However, mm-hmm. I do feel that when anyone on the council is representing the city in their official capacity, mm-hmm. I do feel like the city should cover the cost for that. If people choose not to do that, that's certainly their personal choice. But as of right now, no, I won't be pursuing it.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. You also on the agenda from last night was the establishment of a Transportation Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. Did that actually happen? Did you discuss that? And what will the role be? And how was that approved?
So the city is looking at the creation of a transportation committee. This is something the mayor and I've had some ongoing discussions about, just with some regional projects that we have going on. Really, the community supports a safe, convenient, multimodal transportation system, you know, obviously through our comprehensive plan. So what we're looking at is to have a group that would get together that has either interest and or expertise in the areas of transportation to provide some guidance in bringing people together. So we're really looking at more regional type of transit-related issues. So in our strategic plan, we have mass transit. We have some goals related to improving some of the mass transit in the community. Things like that we might be looking at with Highway 19, if there are some safety improvements or things that we might be looking at. We know there's been some talk with the county related to some enhancements to the I-35 interchange at 19 and how that might impact Northfield. So. Or other types of issues. So what we're looking at is bringing a group of people together for Northfield to really look at these regional transportation issues. It's not getting into capital planning. It's not prioritizing city projects or things that the Planning Commission might deal with specifically through the comprehensive plan. It's more kind of advocacy issues, bringing people together and spending a little extra time the council might not otherwise have and getting people to the table to look at some of those goals. So looking at to see what the council thought of that issue.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is that going to happen? I mean, is there, so, where does it go from here?
Yeah. So that was, last night was just that our initial sort of taking the temperature of the council on what they thought of the mm-hmm. idea. We've not had this. In my 10 years of service on the council, we've not had a dedicated advisory commission that really looked at transportation issues. I think we've had that in the past, but it's not been housed underneath the city. This really allows us to monitor it, have minutes for it, so there's some sort of collection of the thoughts and things like that over the course of time. And the council spoke, I think everyone really spoke in favor of it, and so it will be on an upcoming agenda to formally create it with the appointments to it. So mm-hmm. we'll be moving forward.
All right. Once again, we're talking with Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell, City Administrator Ben Martig. You also discussed a Public Works Street and Utilities, the policies, not actual projects, but policies. Are there certain policies that you're looking at that may be outdated or no longer effective in the 21st century?
I think there was about a dozen or so policies that we looked at. So the context of these policies is that the city has very few adopted kind of policies that the council would approve. So we have, as an example, one of them that's an amendment to an existing policy would be the snow removal policy.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about our prioritization, what we would do when, what the turnaround time might be. But most of these are new. So I would say that, you know, David Bennett, the Public Works Director, and then with staff, I think one of the things that he realized coming in was, one goal would be is that to create some expectations on service delivery that transcends leadership of staffing that might come and go. So it's very common for cities to have these types of policies in place. So it's what we do with potholes, what we do with sidewalk expansion and maintenance and street sweeping. We already deal with some of these kind of things on a response basis. So if we get a complaint of a pothole, we deal with it. These policies are written probably more proactively about, from a maintenance standpoint, what's our expectation related to some of these issues, and then what do we respond to them. So if the council approves those, we've got kind of these policies we can go to and say, this is what we're expected to deliver. Here's the turnaround time. The community, you can share it with the community and say, here's our policy on that. And then when people come and go, it's got some staying power behind it. So I'd say ultimately that's it. The mayor might have some feedback. There was a lot of discussion and questions of the council. I think we spent probably an hour and a half just going through all of these, so there's a lot of mm-hmm. substance to it. Probably some things that are more procedural in there, but sometimes these are the things that the community really like cares the most about. Like, yes. We got a complaint about a pothole issue, so it might actually be something that people want to go out and take a look at to say, oh, what is the city's, you know, thing that they're looking at related to this policy, because this was a discussion only last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would actually really encourage that. So some of the policies that were on our agenda were the downtown banners, pothole repair, sidewalk inspection and maintenance, the sign retro reflectivity and maintenance, snow and ice control. That is a big one. Whenever mm-hmm. we have to move snow, people are always very concerned about that. Street sweeping, boulevard, tree maintenance. That is absolutely another one. People really
oh, sure.
care about their trees in mm-hmm. front of their house. And then also we had some utilities, division ones, water distribution inspection and maintenance, sanitary sewer inspection, water meter installation and repair. So ultimately, I think this is where we at the policy setters, right, really set the direction. I think one of the, it kind of hit me last night that as we're setting these are policies, but if we don't give our city staff the resources, either the both in manpower and financial budget to be able to carry out the general maintenance, well then what good is the policy? And I asked that question last night, and Public Works Director David Bennett said that they're asking for some additional staff and some financial resources so that the sidewalk budget to actually repair the sidewalks is adequate to be able to take care of the needs in our community. So that's setting policy is one thing, but the budget is another one that the council, that's that policy setting document, right, or decision, I would say, for setting the levy to make sure that we can actually carry out these policies.
Now, do these policies need to be approved by the council? They need to be voted on or approved, or is that something that staff can just input into their user's manual?
Yeah, because they're actually policies, like I talked about, there is a lot of procedures in there, so it's a little bit of a blend of both where, you know, administratively we can do procedures, but sometimes you need to have some of that in there for it to make sense, so there's some procedures wrapped in. But ultimately, the entire policy will be approved by the council. It makes it more formalized. It's direction then as to what the expectations are that the council can ultimately hold the staff and them and ourselves accountable to. Is, hey, if we're not able to deliver on this particular issue, we either need to change our expectation on it or try and find funding for it. So I think it maybe forces the issue on some of our goals as it relates to kind of day-to-day administrative and maintenance and taking care of our infrastructure and our community.
All right. We are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
certainly
thank
appreciate
you.
It. Have yourself a good day and a good celebration to Vita Jesse James Days, and we'll see you here next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell, along with City Administrator Ben Martig. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield. Terry coming up with local news in just 1 minute. Here's state news with the Minnesota News Network.
A pair of Judy Garland's